most organizations have data governance programs. They haven't cracked the nut, they haven't figured it all out, but they have some established tools for traditional structured data. A lot of that changes when you get into unstructured data. And so that's where organizations have a lot more learning to do and people have a lot more learning to do.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of Bark, and my guest today is Kevin Petrie. He's the VP of Research of the Bark US subsidiary, and he just finished a few research reports and surveys around AI and data management, and especially the intersection of AI and data management. And that will be the main topic of our podcast today. First, I will ask him about some of the findings around AI adoption and especially what AI leaders do differently from the rest. But then we drill it down into data management and what are the important topics to look at if you think about data management and data governance for AI initiatives. We have a fun conversation around data quality because actually the number one obstacle that has been identified by our survey respondents here is, again, as usual, data quality being the main obstacle for AI success. So we ask the more philosophical question, why is it still data quality and will it remain forever data quality as the main obstacle for any IT initiative? But secondly, we also ask the question, will agents and AI maybe be the solution and help us in improving data quality? Another big topic for us was unstructured data. It is the main data source for Gen AI today and also an output form, but a lot of data teams have more experience with structured data. So we talk about the effects here and also the changes in data architectures with now vector databases, knowledge graphs coming into the play. So overall, an episode with a lot to learn. We'll look at how data can be or should be ready for AI and what data and AI teams should do to get their data ready. Enjoy it. Hey, Kevin.
Carsten, very glad to be here.
Thanks for joining me in the Data Culture Podcast. Kevin, you did a lot of work around data management and AI, and our topic today, therefore, is data readiness for AI. Let's start with a general question. What do you see are the primary business objectives today for AI initiatives?
So I completed a report and we published it this spring with Sean Rogers, our US CEO, on preparing and delivering data for AI. We asked that very question. And what we found was that most organizations right now are looking to improve efficiency. They're looking to streamline processes and get cost improvements by using artificial intelligence to enhance and streamline what exists today. About half of them also are looking to improve the top line by interacting with customers in new ways, by potentially improving sales. But we do find that the majority right now are more focused on cost containment and efficiency. We also found that most of them are meeting or exceeding their goals so far.
Which is positive, yeah? Reassuring. So that's good news.
It's positive and reassuring.
That's good news. And having a focus on cost, I think, is also maybe driven by the overall economic situation. So I see that many companies are really very aware about their budgets and are more in a cost-cutting mode. But maybe it also reflects the state of AI, that it's often used more for automating certain processes, so to become more productive, than maybe to look at new revenue sources or things like that. Would you agree on that observation?
I would agree. I think that we have two worlds or visions right now. One is what we hear on the keynote stages from large innovative or small innovative vendors, which is that we'll have agentic workforces redefining work tomorrow. And the other is reality for the vast majority of organizations, which is that we have existing business processes that need continued automation, increasingly smart, increasingly automated business processes. And that's a good place to start. That's a safer place to start. with AI innovation. And I think most organizations are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. In this report you mentioned, you separate as a group the so-called AI leaders, so companies that are upfront, that are forerunners in AI.
Yes.
Is what you just mentioned, is it the same for them?
You know, it's very interesting. It is the same for them. I think they're a little bolder. They're taking a few more risks. And the way we define the AI leaders is that they have cross-functional, cross-enterprise AI programs. So they're taking a real disciplined, methodical, and governed approach to AI with identified AI leaders in the organization. They are they have clear standards. They are thinking carefully about enterprise architecture. They're identifying legal considerations and taking a very disciplined, project-oriented approach to measuring success. Those folks are achieving better results. They're moving faster, but they're also doing so in a more methodical and cautious way.
How do you see that they move faster? Was that a question you asked?
Well, what we asked, and there are a few different ways we looked at what they're adopting and doing, and we did find that agentic AI adoption is high overall, which is pretty interesting. The idea of an AI agent wasn't really mainstream a year and a half ago. Now we have something like a third of companies saying they're in production, but a higher portion are in production or experimentation of leaders. A higher portion of them are moving ahead with agents. And so I think that's a good proxy of how advanced they are in terms of their rollouts. And this group that we're talking about is about 20% of the market. It echoes a question and benchmark that we did a year ago, or that Sean Rogers and Murph Adrian did with their AI research report. And we found that that group remains about a fifth of the market right now. We need more leaders, but the other four-fifths can certainly learn from them.
Yeah, interesting. And this specific number, 30% of companies have already AI agents in production, is always something where I see eyebrows. Yeah, with eyebrows where people say, oh, really? That many?
Yes.
Do you get the same?
Yeah, I think some scrutiny and skepticism is very justified when we talk about agents. The core definition of an agent is that it's using one or more models, often including a Gen AI model, to make decisions, perceive its environment, and then independently start to act on the decisions that it's making with limited or even no human oversight. But I think the reality is that a lot of vendors are talking about agentic features, and a lot of adopters are talking about agents that are not really autonomous right now. That's okay, because you really need humans to be overseeing what's happening in order to reduce your governance risks. But there is a fair amount of AI washing in terms of marketing of innovative initiatives. And so the level of autonomy within that 30%, I would imagine, is that still quite limited.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what we cannot really see in such a study, is what exactly is being done. And I also agree. But once I saw that number, whenever I'm speaking in front of a larger group, I ask the people to raise their hands and ask them, okay, how many of you have at least one agent productive? And surprisingly, often it's around a third of the audience. Yeah, so actually, I could verify the number a little bit.
Yeah.
Without a scientific approach and with a smaller number, obviously. But it was interesting to see that. I think this is one of the fastest adoption of a new technology I have seen. So it looks like that companies really jump on this agent or agentic AI topic. Do you have any clue why? Do you have an explanation for that?
Great question. I think that, yes, agents have a fair amount of hype and hyperbole related to what really constitutes an agent. But the structure and the concept makes perfect sense. You have language models, Gen AI language models, that provide an extraordinary ability now to reason, to define workflows, and start to help and instruct applications to execute those workflows. So the agent is the right way to kind of bring it all together. You've got ideally a GenAI language model. In all likelihood, you've got one or more machine learning models that are providing more deterministic outputs. And then you might have standard analytics or traditional application tasks and schedulers and so forth. Bringing that all together in one semi-autonomous application makes perfect sense, because in the end, AI innovation is about three things, not one. It's about models, yes. Models are powerful. That's great. It's also about data sets, and it's also about applications. And organizations need to figure out how to stitch all that together into agentic workflows.
Yeah. When we look at AI initiatives and where the problems are, then very frequently data comes up.
Yes.
So lack of data quality, the accessibility of data is limited, and so on. So, and typically without data, there's no AI. But this is like more anecdotal. Does your empirical research support that, that data is a major issue or problem for AI initiatives?
It does. It does. We asked organizations in our survey to identify their primary obstacles to AI success. And number one was data quality.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was AI skills, retraining, reskilling their workers to use AI effectively. But the fact that number one was data quality, it was almost half of organizations identified as their top obstacle, was telling. And what's also interesting is that a concurrent report I did with Tim Grosser asks, do you trust your inputs to AI ML models, and do you trust your outputs?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the answer there was equally sobering, which was that about a third of companies don't fully trust the inputs to their AI ML models, and 40-41% do not trust the outputs. So there are concerns about data quality. There's very much a recognition that organizations need to get that right before they move too far ahead.
Yeah, and the problem should get bigger the more you actually roll it out, the more you scale it across the enterprise, the more data you need, the more data sources you tap into, it will rise as a problem increase. Interesting.
Yes.
Now, I had this discussion just a few hours ago, so I have to ask you this. Isn't it a little bit like Groundhog Day? I mean, the biggest problem in data warehousing in the 1990s was data quality. The biggest problem for data lakes was data quality. The biggest problem in big data always was data quality.
Yes.
Now, in AI, is data quality. Will this ever end?
I suspect that in 2030 and 2035, we will also be talking about the importance of data quality. There are some positive indicators, which is that AI is getting CEO and board level attention. There are CEOs such as Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase who have the head of AI reporting directly to them. AI is getting a lot of attention, and there is a lot of recognition now that data is absolutely critical, that high quality inputs are non-negotiable for AI. So now there's more investment and more strategic focus on the fundamentals of data governance. Those are good things. And most organizations are not good at managing the quality of tables. The challenge, of course, is that now we have structured data, but organizations are adding unstructured data. They also need to figure out how to govern models that act on the data and govern agents that assemble multiple models and potentially start to interact with each other. So there's this geometric or even exponential increase in the things that could go wrong, starting with bad data.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned correctly, it's a governance topic. So in the end, it's a people topic. And
it is.
Without a data culture that makes clear for everyone that the quality of the data is so important, we will never achieve this. And changing people's behaviors, obviously, is one of the toughest things, much way harder than to implement a new tool.
I agree.
Or to get the agents running. And that's why I would say it's not a given that we will not in 2030 or 2040 will have this still as a number one obstacle sitting there. But I wonder, I had one thought, because if you ask yourself why is such a big problem to look after data quality? And I think there are many tasks involved that people don't really like. So now, maybe with agents, with AI, maybe AI can really help here to clean up data,
yes,
look after governance rules, and so on. So maybe AI, I will not say is the solution, but will maybe help us to get ahead with this topic. Do you agree?
I do agree. And interestingly enough, we asked that question in our survey, and we found that, in fact, there's very high interest in addressing data management with agents. And so we asked about use cases. And interestingly enough, the number one most popular use case for agentic data management was data quality.
Aha.
So now we've come full circle. We have the fox in charge of the hen house, as we say here in the US. But I think there are ways in which artificial intelligence and you know, using machine learning, anomaly detection, and then wrapping a Gen AI language model around that to interact with the user, that really can help reduce the burden of identifying data quality issues. So there is a lot of opportunity there that AI could be part of the solution and not just the problem.
All right. Now, data quality is just one aspect of data governance. How far are companies overall with the implementation of the different aspects of data governance?
I'd say we're finding mixed success. We did ask for a line-by-line assessment of where enterprises are with data governance. We found that in areas such as data privacy, regulatory compliance, protection of intellectual property, and then creating and enforcing policies, we did find that a good chunk of organizations, most, have formalized and implemented or even optimized their controls in these areas. And that's obviously critical. We found a surprising laggard in the area of data bias. There are a number of organizations that haven't done enough in that area. And we found that data quality was not an area where organizations are leading in terms of having implemented or optimized data quality controls in that area. And that obviously fits with the other findings we just talked about. So the caveat is that most organizations have data governance programs. They haven't cracked the nut, they haven't figured it all out, but they have some established tools for traditional structured data. A lot of that changes when you get into unstructured data. And so that's where organizations have a lot more learning to do and people have a lot more learning to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if we, approach these topics, at some point we need to measure success. And that's one of the big discussions in the data culture field. Yeah, if we do investments also in our people, how can we measure the success?
Yeah.
What did you find there? How do companies measure that?
Okay. So we found that a number of organizations measure success by data quality, which is good. We also found that a number of organizations measure it by business results.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those two areas are absolutely critical. We didn't find organizations as focused on uptake or adoption by end users of AI. And I think that should be a higher metric for success. In all these areas, though, not enough organizations are focused on, for example, data quality. We found that it was only about half of organizations said that data quality was a primary measure of AI success. And given all the factors we just talked about, that should be 100%.
Absolutely. The hype around AI obviously started with Gen AI. And Gen AI is all about unstructured data.
Yeah.
So we talk about texts and documents and images and so on. How do you see that now coming together? Why should companies apply AI models and applications also to their unstructured data?
You know, it's a great question. I've been giving a lot of thought to this. Unstructured data is actually going to be part of a report that I'm kicking off right now with Merv Adrian to look at where organizations are with adopting, managing, and optimizing unstructured data for AI. We did address that some, both in the report I did with Sean and with Tim. And the way I see it, we're in a third phase of Gen AI innovation. It all kicked off. The starter's gun fired at the end of November 2022. ChatGPT came out. Carson, I actually remember I was on a call with you when you first told me about it. That was the first discovery I had of ChatGPT, probably the first week of December or something. So at that point, that created this explosive use of Gen AI language models by knowledge workers. That was the first wave. The second wave was vendors building Gen AI into their tools. That was the second wave. The third wave is what we're in now, which is organizations applying Gen AI language models to their data or foundation models into other types of content. And when you start to apply it to your own proprietary data sets and business processes, that's the way you can actually gain competitive advantage. Because anyone can use ChatGPT or Gemini, anyone can use Joule within SAP, but not everyone can stitch AI into your proprietary workflows. And that's where the real innovation, the real productivity, and the real competitive edge happens. As organizations do that, the data that often contains the best proprietary information is unstructured. Emails, documents, service records, all these things will have text, they might have images or even video, and that all contains a lot of latent insights that can guide models to deliver new discoveries for the business. And it's not easy to manage and prepare, but it's absolutely critical if you want to give the right context to the models as they develop insights for your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the data teams are typically more concerned about structured data. So numbers in tables.
Yeah.
Now, Gen AI is making some progress. I mean, the core technology surely is more geared toward unstructured data, but we see more and more applications also where Gen AI is also being used, or at least partly being used to analyze data, for example, structured data. Agentic AI, as I see it, has the potential to combine different agents that work differently on different types of data. So what effect does this have that now data, structured data, unstructured data seems to be coming together in a way?
It does. And it obviously makes things harder for adopters. It creates a lot of opportunity for vendors that can stitch together the different pieces. But the way I see it, the real effective agents or other applications are going to use multiple model types, and they're going to use multiple data types. So let's look at customer service or supply chain management. If you want to build an AI agent or deploy one for your proprietary processes, you're going to want tables that say exactly what your partners bought or your customers bought and exactly what they're doing. So that's trusted facts from a table. You'll also want to include emails, documents that summarize conversations, contracts, and things like that. And you might well want to include some images and so forth. And you might want to include information about the taxonomy or the interrelationships of products and so forth. So all that means you might have a vector database that has the text or numericized text. You might have a knowledge graph that summarizes the ontological relationships, the taxonomic relationships, and you might have a relational database. And so all those things are going to deliver different data types to different mixes of models. It gets tricky, but the most effective agents over time are going to have multiple models analyzing multiple data types.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that unstructured data is more difficult to handle than structured data, or is it just a different data type?
I do think it's harder. It's and the reason is that the ways in which you verify accuracy are subject to interpretation. There's a level of uncertainty. There's a level of subjectivity to conveying the meaning of a document. And that's where you need humans or software to label documents, classify them, rank their accuracy, rank or define who they should be used and in what context. That's all metadata that needs to be gathered, often in a manual fashion, in order to guide Gen AI models or other types of models about how they can be consumed. And so that's very different than simply confirming that the tables in the values in a table are identical to other values in other tables, or that there are consistent relationships between values. Mm-hmm. That's different. Relational data quality is not easy, but it's a familiar set of deterministic capabilities. Here we're getting into more probabilistic outcomes. We're pretty sure this output or this document is not toxic. We're pretty sure it's accurate, but it's not 100%. And so data engineers need to figure out how to start to handle that. They need to work with business experts, and they need to learn new tools and techniques to convey and manage semantic meaning.
Yeah. You just mentioned vector databases.
Yes.
And knowledge graphs as two. Actually, they're not new, obviously,
yep,
but now are way more important in these types of architectures. Do you see other, let's say, components or other changes in data architecture when we look at now what agentic AI requires or demands in terms of data?
Well, we have some interesting dynamics in terms of the data architecture. Those are new types of databases. Another popular type is keyword matching, keyword searches, which is technology that's been around for a while. But we are seeing organizations such as Google, organizations such as Vespa, a client of ours. Google is also a client. But what they're doing is they're consolidating multiple functions into a common database. So they could retrieve facts from tables, they could do keyword matching, they could do semantic searches or vector searches all in the same system. So there is that desire to have a multifaceted database, what I will call an AI database. Other dynamics are that there's a new type of data pipeline to take unstructured data and convert it into numerical form, say with vectors. But there's also a desire to simply access the data in place rather than moving it. And so that's where you can see Model Context Protocol, which Anthropic came out, can provide ideally easy access to all sorts of data sources, looking at both unstructured and structured data. So data engineers need to learn these new pipeline tools. They need to learn these new data platforms, and they also need to figure out how to prepare unstructured data for consumption and provide easy access to it by the agents.
Yeah. Do you also see this tendency in the market that platforms are being formed, meaning that you mentioned the databases, so they add capabilities. We see data integration platforms adding capabilities now for unstructured data, which typically wasn't a requirement before. Is that like a typical, let's say, market development?
I think so. So I think on the database side, there are the gorillas of the database world that Amazon, Google, Oracle, and so forth, that will continue to add features as necessary in order to address these new needs. They'll continue to acquire. It was interesting to see that Snowflake and Databricks both acquired Postgres vendors in the last few weeks in order to branch out what they're doing. There's also a fair amount of innovation among startup database vendors. A likely exit for them is to be acquired as well.
Exactly. All right, Kevin, our time is almost up. Let's maybe sum it up.
Yeah.
Now, as AI is developing very quickly, it's getting more and more adopted in enterprise, what would be your key recommendations for companies if they think about their data readiness for AI? What should they tackle first? What would be your main recommendations here?
Yeah, great question. I think I would start with an economic observation. If we look at U.S. economic productivity data as an indicator about whether this AI stuff makes sense, we're in early days. So over time, if we're lucky, we'll increase the economic output per worker 3% in a given year. We're kind of achieving that with AI since ChatGPT came out, but it actually went down last quarter. So it takes time to really produce more and produce higher value, which ultimately is why we're better off than our grandparents. And in that spirit, organizations need to take their time. They need to be very methodical about incremental changes they can take today, next week, next month, next year to their business processes and their architectures in order to feed their proprietary data into AI. It's really about making successive, careful, governed, incremental changes to their businesses and to their architectures. It's not about wholesale laying off of workers. It's not about wholesale rip and replace innovations. So AI can incrementally improve us over time. The world will be very different in 10 or 15 years. It probably won't be very different next year.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, drilling down or focusing on data and data management, what would be your key recommendations in that field?
Great question. I would encourage data teams at all levels to work with their existing vendors, perhaps work with professional services organizations in order to understand the new possibilities that they have to meet changing business requirements. A lot of these data teams are already hearing from executives and business clients within their organizations about what they need. But I think they need to get smarter quickly about how they can gain the new skills, the new techniques, and the new processes and the new tools to manage multiple types of data and deliver those in usable formats to data scientists and other analysts within their organization.
And learn about unstructured data.
And learn about unstructured data. Get your arms around it. It's tricky, but it's worth it. And it requires some new skills and techniques.
Absolutely. And being on the Data Culture podcast, we have to stress again this topic of governance that you mentioned, which includes or will not succeed without people. And only with actually looking after the data culture in your organization, you will succeed with all of what we have just mentioned.
Yes.
Karen, has been a pleasure as usual. Thanks so much for all your insights, for the latest results from some of our latest research reports. And thanks for your work in this field and distilling the results here and making them really usable for companies. Thanks a lot. All the best to you and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Garson. Thank you very much.